Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, February the 12th. And today we'll be chatting in a minute with my good friend George Rodriguez from South Texas. A beautiful day up here. I'm sure it's probably the same down there as well. Although last night I was watching the news when the president was down in El Paso, and it seemed like it was a little colder in El Paso than usual. So that was kind of an interesting addition to everything else that was going on that night. We'll be talking to George about the president's visit, the reaction, and everything else related to it. But I want to make a couple of quick statements. Historically, this is the day that Abraham Lincoln was born in 1809. So always remember President Lincoln, one of the great figures, of course, of American history, if not the greatest of all of the Americans. George Washington and Lincoln have always been, in my mind, the two great figures of American history. And I want to take a minute and talk about El Chapo. The trial for El Chapo has just concluded. He's basically been found guilty of everything. I mean, it was a sweeping verdict. I don't think he's got a lot of room to negotiate. He may get something, but he's going to spend the rest of his life in jail, pretty much whatever the rest of his life is. And I find it interesting because the people who tell me that there's no crisis on the border, that this is a manufactured crisis, that everything's fine, just look, listen to Beto O'Rourke, everything's fine. If you look at this man's activities, every one of those activities was made possible because things go north and south on the U.S.-Mexico border, and they're going north and south without supervision. Whether it's guns, whether it's cash, whether it's drugs, whether it's human trafficking, whatever it is, whatever it was that this man was involved in, was made possible by the U.S.-Mexico border. Had we had a tougher U.S.-Mexico border, maybe he would have gotten into the business, but it would have been a heck of a lot more difficult for him to succeed in that business than what it was. So don't tell me that there's no crisis on the border. Just watch all the things that El Chapo was found guilty of, and then tell me that there's no crisis on the border. Let me say hello to our good friend George Rodriguez. How are you, George?
Real good, buddy. How are you?
Good. How's the weather?
It's beautiful down here. It's one of those Chamber of Commerce days. It's not warm. It's not hot. But it's not cold either. It's just right. It's just this really, really nice, well, we would consider it a winter day, the perfect winter day for us.
Well, it's like that here, very pretty as well, 50s maybe, very nice. We've had these fast changes of temperatures. A few days ago it was 24, now today's in the 50s. I understand we may go back to 24 in a few days. So what was that expression, George, that they used to say in Texas, if you don't like the weather, wait 20 minutes, something like that?
Yeah, wait. Well, I think it was wait 24 hours and it'll happen.
Oh, okay. Well, so wait 24 hours. Well, that may be actually more prophetic because in 24 hours things will be different. Well, we want to chat about President Trump's visit to El Paso. By all accounts, he was well received. One of the things that I learned, George, from that visit and from listening to some of the pundits, is that El Paso is much more Democrat than I honestly thought it was.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I understand that Mrs. Clinton got like 78% of the vote in El Paso. I did not realize that it was that far, you know. But anyway, he was there. He got a good reception. And, of course, Beto O'Rourke was there as well. Let me begin by asking you if you know anything at all about the crowd figures, because I'm not sure. I think the president had like 10,000 people because it was an auditorium, of course. You can only put so many, but there were a lot of people outside who couldn't get in. What is your understanding of the crowd that saw Beto last night?
The understanding that I have from talking to some of the reporters from Univision and from Fox, they were telling me that the number of folks was a lot smaller than had been anticipated, and that some of the folks like The Hill, because The Hill publication was saying that they gave an estimate of, let me pull it up, between 10 and 15,000. That was their estimate, and that was as of early this morning on the Hill. Definitely they felt that that was not the case at all, not the case at all. In fact, they didn't think that there were more than 2,000 folks at best at the height of the thing. The other thing that that seems to be, you know, at question was how many people actually took part in the march, because a lot of people went to the rally, but they didn't take part in the march. The crowd that went on the march, some estimated that it was about 500 folks. It was not exact. I mean, you know, one of the sad things that I continue to see, Silvio, is this this Trump syndrome that seems to have infected particularly the big mediums, the media outlets. I mean, you know, like CNN. CNN did not put out any comments until very, very late today, from what I could tell, about the size of the crowd or anything related, you know, in comparison to the two. To me, that reflected that, you know, it wasn't that good of a turnout, you know, that they would not have been able to spin it very well. So I'm not, you know, the only thing that I can see from my sources is that the Trump rally was a lot larger than the O'Rourke rally.
Right.
And again, that's talking to mm-hmm. folks who are, you know, objective, folks who are journalists. I have not spoken to any police officers who would have been able to give me a real sense of it. Talking to these journalists, that's what I got.
Yeah. Well, normally when they do these public events, your best source, at least my experience, is your best source is the police.
Right.
They don't have any, you know, they don't have any political agenda. They're basically interested in security. So
right.
they get a pretty good fix for the number, just for to know how many policemen they need to have and so on and so on. And so I'm anxious to see what the El Paso police has to say. I mean, the fact is that they both had rallies, and obviously the Trump rally was more organized and more structured. The Beto rally looked awfully informal, the little bits that I saw.
Yes.
But the
yeah.
message was obviously clear. There was a contrast in the message.
The contrast was that. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
the
man,
message.
Was big.
I did see, and again, I don't know how prevalent they were. I don't want to mischaracterize an event that I was not in. But I did see a couple of Mexican flags. Or
definitely.
Some pictures of Mexican flags.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know what they're thinking when they do that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know if they think that's going to gain them sympathy. I don't think that gains them any sympathy, but for some reason some people decided to bring those flags to the rally. I'm not exactly sure why. But we are right now, George, and I want to get your reaction to the apparent news. There's some news that there's a deal that was struck, and I predicted yesterday that there were three things that could happen. The first one is a shutdown. I didn't think that was going to happen, meaning that President Trump would reject it and have a shutdown. I didn't think that was going to happen. The second option was that he was going to get exactly what he wanted. I didn't think that was going to happen. And the third option was going to be one of these deals where he says, okay, I'm just going to take whatever they give me now. I'll use other funds to build a wall, but I've made my point that a wall is going to be made, and I've got an issue to run against the Democrats in 2020 because they didn't think that building the wall was important. I think that's what he's going to do, George, take that third option. What do you think?
Definitely. I think that you know, the Democrats have set themselves up, and if there's any example of that, it's yesterday's rallies, the both of them. I mean, here President Trump was pounding, and I mean he had a couple of parents of that have lost kids to illegal aliens. He had folks who are involved in who have been victimized by the drug trade and the human trafficking. He had folks who are pro-wall. He had folks who, they were making his argument for border security in the wall. On the other hand, you had Beto and his folks, again, like you said, not only opposing the wall, but waving Mexican flags. I mean, Silvio, these folks are not thinking. They are not thinking because, not only one thing is to oppose the wall on humanitarian reasons and for, because we want to be good neighbors, et cetera, et cetera. But when you go out of your way to, highlight undocumented folks, when you go out of your way to wave Mexican flags, that really, really doesn't help. In my opinion, it doesn't help your argument in middle America. It just doesn't help.
No.
It really doesn't.
No, it's – well, we saw that, we saw that during the immigration marches of 10 years ago.
Exactly.
In fact, I remember, George, being on one of the local channels. I think it was actually – I said the same thing on both of them. But, right after you had that march full of Mexican flags, I said, they asked me, well, what do you think? And I said, well, the marches just killed themselves today. They just committed suicide, political suicide, because they're out there marching with Mexican flags. So you've got people who get home from work. They turn on the TV. These are not partisan people. They're not people like you and I who follow politics, George. They're just people going to work and coming home. They're probably open-minded about a lot of things that maybe you and I are more partisan about. So you turn on the TV at 5 o'clock to watch the local news, and you see a bunch of people sticking Mexican flags in your face and calling you a racist.
Exactly.
And you're sitting there going, wait a minute. They're in my country without papers, and they're waving another country's flags, and they're calling me racist. No, I'm done with this. And I honestly think that's what killed the marches, George.
Exactly.
I really believe that's what killed the marches.
I was working 10 years ago. I was working in when those marches occurred in 2006. I was working in West Virginia at that point. I was still employed with HUD, and I was working in West Virginia. And I remember the immediate reaction by folks in what we would definitely call Middle America. They were shocked. They were absolutely shocked. Not to mention angry as well. And I think that up until that time, the idea of refugees, of undocumented folks being poor refugees, was very tolerable. But then suddenly it became nope. And now that you've got these folks at the border right now, like in Eagle Pass, or in Piedras Negras across from Eagle Pass,
mm-hmm.
who have come as a caravan and are now demanding to enter. I'm not sure. What they're thinking and what obviously they're not. They're not getting top political advice. That's for sure.
No, they're not. In fact, they're getting some very bad advice. And I think what you see there is really what is behind the marches. And this is what I remember saying 10 years ago, that when you start seeing Mexican flags and you start seeing those kinds of signs, what you're really seeing is what's really behind all of this, which
exactly.
is not an honest effort by people who just want to say, hey, look, I'm here. I didn't mean to break your laws, but whatever. I like an opportunity to stay here. Tell me how I can do it. And I think at that point it switched into a more of a left-wing orientation that was really behind. And I think that's what killed the immigration marches. And I don't know, to be fair, I only saw two pictures last night of Mexican flags. So if that's all that there was, then that's probably not going to be a major problem for that movement. But they need to be very careful about that. Let me, George, ask you about El Chapo,
just to go
back to that topic for a second.
I think he's just misunderstood.
Well, I think so, yeah. No question about that. He really wanted to be a member of the Monkees, but somehow he became a cartel leader. That's what it was.
Somehow
he showed up for a job interview, wanted to be He wanted to be a member of the Monkees, and he just missed it. He went to the wrong office.
There you go.
As they say. But the larger point is this man has just been found guilty of everything he was accused of. Now, obviously, the judge will determine the prison sentence and all of that. I mean, he's going to be in prison for a long time, George. And when you look at what he's being accused of, obviously drugs, killings, I mean, human brutality, everything, George, is to some degree related to the U.S.-Mexico border. That's what, you know, to me, this is such a – anybody who tells me that there's no crisis on the border, I would simply say, well, what was El Chapo doing then? Because his empire was made possible by the dollars. Again, we consume that. Let's be honest about it. We consume it. But, you know, the dollars go south. The guns – I mean, the weapons go north. The guns – are either in Mexico or they come from the United States, and probably a little bit of both. The shootings in Mexico are brutal, 35,000 people. So please, somebody tell me that there's no crisis on the border, George.
Let me tell you, again, from my family's experience, my grandfather used to talk extensively about the relative lawlessness, because I'll put it in that, I'll use that phrase, relative lawlessness that used to occur on the border. The border has always, one of my grandfather's best friends was a Texas Ranger, and I remember them telling me stories when I was little about, you know, how lawless in the old days the border. The border has always been lawless. It has always been lawless. People on this side run to the other side to hide, or people on that side run to this side to hide. I mean, that's the way it's always been. However, let me just say now, however, it has never been like it is now. It has never been the way it is now. And the reason that, you know, not only do we have a larger, much, much larger populations living at the border now, you know, I mean, San Diego and Los Angeles alone, Los Angeles, San Diego County, Orange County alone, you know, not to mention how many people live on the other side in Tijuana, but the number, you know, the amount of money that can be made illegally, either trafficking the drugs or trafficking the people, you know, because things have tightened up, because the Border Patrol and because ICE is much tougher now, it costs someone trying to get themselves smuggled into the United States pays a much, much higher price than they used to 3, 4, 5 years ago, you know, and heaven knows 10 years ago. I mean, they pay much, much higher price. And as it tightens up, it's going to get more expensive. However, at the same time, you got more. The volume is even greater of people that want to come across, even greater. It was unheard of 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago for a caravan to come and park themselves on the other side of the border, waiting to get into the United States. I mean, that was unheard of. So the game has changed in volume, but it's still the same game. The problem is the lawlessness mm-hmm. of the border, because that's the nature of the beast. And
right.
Joaquin El Chapo Guzman is nothing more than a manifestation, the best manifestation of what is going on,
right.
what has happened. He is.
Well,
he is the best manifestation.
That's right. No, I think that's a very good point. I would argue, I mean, you know more about this than I do, but just from my recollections and readings of the border 50, 60, 70 years ago, I think that at one time, there's always been lawlessness. I know what you mean. But I think a lot of the traffic before was more economic-oriented. It wasn't so much crime-oriented. I think there were just people who wanted to come over and, can I cut your grass? Okay, give me 20 bucks and I'll go back home.
Definitely. When it came to people coming across, it was always just Mexicanos that were coming across the border just to work
right.
and just to make an, you know, that was it. But that's changed. I mean, it's...
No, that's changed.
I mean, it's completely changed. I mean, the...
Well, and you also have
those,
the... Yeah, you have the Central American factor, George,
which
I think
yes.
has changed also a lot. And then you have to begin to wonder, you know, are you really helping Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, are you really helping them by having every one of their citizens come up here? I don't think
so. That's right.
Some point, you have to say, you know what, we can only take so much, and you guys are just going to have to do something about this, because we cannot take every single person from Central America. I mean, we could, in a sense, because we're only talking about 10 million people or so in the entire, or 10 or 15 million people, so we probably could, but it's got to be in a different way. It cannot be through caravans or whatever. So your gut feeling, George, getting back to the president, your gut feeling is that he will sign this and then start building the wall from funds that he already has access to. And it sort of takes us back a little bit to the conversation we had a couple of weeks ago, George, when you were kind enough to invite me on your radio show down there, that I said I'm going to trust the president's instincts. And I think his instincts may turn out to be correct, because he's going to get his wall, but he also has a campaign issue now to run against Democrats.
That's
and
exactly
I would
right.
say, George, every Democrat who won in this last election and in some of these competitive districts, that Democrat better have an explanation as to why he didn't vote for a border wall, because that's what the Republicans is going to come at him with, George.
That's exactly right. Look, what he is going to get is a perfect campaign, national campaign base, platform, rather. It's perfect for him, because now, I mean, what are the, I mean, the deranged syndrome, that's exhibited by Miss Ocasio-Cortez, carrying on about, stopping ICE, doing away with ICE. One of the glitches in the negotiation where they want to lessen the number of beds, so that the detainees can be released.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things are going to come back and haunt them. And to be honest with you, Silvio, I don't think the Democrats have the self control
right.
to not go off the rails and attack him. And attack him on this thing. I think
right.
that they will go off the rails, and they will say that it's inhumane, that it's immoral. I mean, they won't know how to handle themselves.
That's right. No, I think you're right. I think this is part of the problem, that once they won the majority, they were very happy together when all they had to do was hate Trump. But now that they have a majority, they have to take positions, and they're telling us where they stand.
Yeah, right.
And
exactly.
none of this mattered a year ago, because a lot of these people were not even in public office. But now that they are in public office, now that they have, districts to represent and budgets to work on and everything, we're really learning what these people are all about. Well, George, I want to thank you again for helping us out here on short notice with your opinions. And
I have lots of them.
I know you do, but that's good. That's why we like to invite you. And I'm going to give you a happy Valentine's Day in anticipation here for
thank you.
Your family down there. I hope you have a great Valentine's Day, and let's get together again. Always enjoy having you on.
You take care, my man. Be good.
All right.
Bye-bye.
My good friend George Rodriguez down in San Antonio, talking a little bit about what is going on with our politics. And it is really interesting what is going on right now, because I think that, as George was saying, President Trump has picked up extra money for the fence or the wall. But I actually think that he's got a campaign issue right now. And I think the big mistake for the Democrats, and I've been saying this for quite some time, big mistake for the Democrats is to become so associated with the anti-border wall movement that they lose sight of the fact that most Americans actually believe there is a crisis. Whether you believe there needs to be a wall from San Diego to Brownsville, we can debate that. We can debate that, and there might be some common ground there. But to say that no, nothing works, to say that walls don't work, I mean, that's just absolutely insane. And again, I go back to the trial of El Chapo. Here's a man who has just convicted today to doing all kinds of things, and every one of those things was made possible by the fact that the U.S.-Mexico border is an open highway north and south. And when you have an open highway north and south, yes, you're going to get some illegal immigration. But you're also going to get criminality. And that is, unfortunately, what is happening down there. Again, this is President Abraham Lincoln's birthday. He was born in 1809, and we always remember that. Always remember that on our show. I always put a post on my blog about President Lincoln, a great post from my friends over at Powerline, which is always, they publish that every year, and it's an absolutely wonderful post, so I recommend that you check it out as well. Bye-bye, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.